You know, there are a lot of situations in life that can call into question our faith and how we view the world. Sometimes it's the loss of a loved one, whether through death or maybe it's estrangement. A medical problem can also do the same. Jan Dunlap went through a medical misdiagnosis that had a ripple effect on her emotional health and her stability. And for her, help came in the form of a rambunctious black lab. Jan Dunlap is the author of several books in the Bob White murder mystery series. We've interviewed her a number of times about those books as they came out. Her recently published memoir is titled Saved by Gracie, How a Rough and Tumble Rescue Dog Dragged Me Back to Health, Happiness, and God. And Jan, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to chat with you again.
Yeah, it's great to have a chance to talk with you. You know, as I said, you've been on the show to talk about your Bob White murder mystery series, which is hard to say. Say that 10 times really fast. But this is a very different kind of book. So tell us about Saved by Gracie.
Saved by Gracie is a very personal story. As the title says, it was about my journey back from an anxiety disorder to a place where I am really happy and I'm very healthy and totally have a new slant on my faith in God. And I attribute it all to this rescue dog that my daughter convinced us that we really needed to have, even though I was afraid of dogs. And I had such an amazing experience with this dog that I thought, I need to share this with other people, especially since so many people suffer with depression and anxiety.
Yeah. And the story starts with you thinking that you were having a heart attack, I believe.
That's correct.
What happened there?
I woke up in the middle of the night with the 10-pound gorilla on my chest, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm having a heart attack. We went into an emergency room, and they kept me overnight and ran all the tests, and there was nothing there. And they said, you need to come back and, just take a stress test just to be sure, because sometimes with women, heart attack disguises its symptoms. So I said, okay, no big deal. And so I went back for the stress test, and it turned out to be positive, and my mom had a history of heart disease at an early age. So they said, we've got to get you in for an angiogram to verify what's wrong and get a stent in. And at the time, I was 52 or something, and I thought, what the heck? How can this be happening? I've been taking care of myself. I'm a good person. God should be rewarding me. How can I have a heart problem? And I had this angiogram, and everything was fine. The angiogram verified that I did not have any blockage in my heart, at which point the doctor said, well, 15% of stress tests can come back inaccurate, and you're one of the lucky 15%.
Oh, man.
And I certainly felt lucky. I didn't have a heart problem, but it shook my confidence in the medical establishment, because I thought the stress test was right, and then they say, no, we're wrong. And it shook my faith in God, too.
And it certainly brought the idea of mortality to the forefront for you.
Oh, yes, because I didn't think I had to worry about that quite yet. And, all of us say that, we know we're going to die at some point, but getting hit in the face with that possibility, waiting to have an angiogram to see why my heart was not working properly, really made me think about mortality.
Oh. Well, I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. Jan Dunlap, our guest today, she is the author of Saved by Gracie, How a Rough and Tumble Rescue Dog Dragged Me Back to Health, Happiness, and God. And be interested to hear about you. What are your experiences? Maybe have you dealt with a crisis that maybe shook your certainty? How did you recover from it? Did you have animals played that kind of role? Dogs played that kind of role in your life? Have you experienced how pets and nature can help in healing from physical or maybe emotional illnesses? I'd really love to hear from you on that. So give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org, or go to our Facebook page. The Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show. You can go there and post your questions or your comments or your experiences there. We'd certainly love to hear from you, and I know Jan would as well, and I'm certain would have some comments about your own questions or comments or experiences. So go ahead and do that right now. This whole nagging feeling of uncertainty, it's a hard thing to, you know, once you get that into your system, I think it's probably a hard thing to get out.
It absolutely is, Larry. As I researched my anxiety disorder, I found that women in particular are prone to what they call rumination. Now, to me, a rumination reminds me of a cow chewing its cud. It isn't very pretty. But the fact is that's what we do with ideas. Women and men who ruminate, they get fixated on the past, and they replay it over and over and over in their head. And it's almost an obsession to try to figure out why that happened, you know, and is it going to happen again? So basically, ruminators obsess on things that they have no control over, but they can't seem to move forward or get out of it. And that's what an anxiety or disorder really focuses on, all the things that can go wrong or have gone wrong in the past, and so you're afraid of everything. And it really closes down your life. I felt like I was shutting down myself into a little box.
Oh, man.
And at the same time, I knew I was doing it, and I knew it wasn't reasonable, but I couldn't get out of the habit.
Yeah, and here you've got a daughter.
Yes.
And a husband. And they seem to, I think we're carrying an understanding for sure.
Oh, very, very much so. But there's really only so much other people can do. I think you have to somehow have something that makes you just stop. And for me, it was the dog.
Yeah.
The dog totally walked into my life and made everything else fly away because I was confronted with a dog that I was afraid of, and all my energy went to focusing on how I could live with a dog in the house. And I found out that I love living with a dog in the house. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm having more fun than I've had since probably my kids were little.
Oh, man. Jan Dunlap, author of Saved by Gracie, our guest today. Dan in Wisconsin Dells, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello there, Larry. I just love your show. I listen to you every day, and you bring a lot of joy to my life, and so do your guests. But I just wanted to say, this is about 10, 15 years ago, I went through a divorce, and it was an amicable divorce. I mean, things were fine between us, but I was still lonely. I didn't have my wife or my daughter. I had a dog, Molly, and Molly was there, and she never told any of my secrets, and she was always there, and she was in the same thing. If I wouldn't have had my dog, it would have been a lot, lot harder.
Yeah.
Molly's gone now, and I still miss her deeply, but I've got a new dog, and she's like a Molly, too. Dogs bring so much joy to your life. It's unbelievable.
That's a great story. I meet so many people who say they have a divorce dog. After they have a divorce, they get a dog, and that dog just brings them back to life, which is so wonderful.
It does. It does. Well, thank you again, and I love your show, Larry.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks very much for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear your experiences as well as we talk with Jan Dunlap. And Jan, you're not only a person of faith. You have a theology degree, so it must have been scary before Gracie came along. It must have been scary to not be able to rely on that as you had before.
That was really tough for me, and it made me feel very guilty because I thought I know all this stuff intellectually, so why am I not feeling it in my heart? And I found that's one thing the dog really taught me, is that sometimes you just got to fly under the intellectual radar and go straight to your heart. And a dog is great at that because dogs don't sit around and reason with you. they don't say, yes, I think maybe we should go out for a while, but I know there's chicken cooking in the oven, and maybe we can't go out for another 15 minutes. I got to go now. And you're out the door. And that habit kind of seeps into the rest of your life when you really give yourself over to being present. And that was the piece that I think my theological background was missing. I had all the head knowledge, but I didn't have the present the immediacy, the heart knowledge that I learned from this dog.
That's wonderful. And you even had an anxiety disorder, and that was new for you too. So
it was all tied together with a misdiagnosis, and it's very common for women as we reach this certain age in our lives that hormones go a little crazy on us, crazier than normal, and it's even harder to just be placid. I mean, it's hard to keep an even keel. Things kind of set us off, and I'm sure you've never experienced that with any women around you, but it's not a fun thing.
I feel like I can understand fairly well. I'm sure I can't understand perfectly, but I can understand fairly well what you're talking about here. And I can also understand a fault of mine, especially in dealing with women sometimes, is if a problem comes up and I want to solve the problem.
Oh, yes.
Instead.
I know this.
And I really had to work hard at say not giving my opinion on what should be done. And we can talk some more about that, about my shortcomings in a minute or two here. But we need to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. And then we'll be back with Jan Dunlap, author of Saved by Gracie. Stay with us. Whether or not we consider ourselves spiritual or religious or not, I think that all of us have beliefs about what's true in the world and in our lives. So when a crisis fills us with uncertainty, where there was confidence before, it can be pretty unsettling. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jan Dunlap is the author of several books in the Bob White Murder Mystery Series, and her recently published memoir is titled Saved by Gracie, How a Rough and Tumble Rescue Dog Dragged Me Back to Health, Happiness, and God. And Jan, thanks again for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure, Larry.
And again, to our listeners, have you dealt with a crisis that shook you, and how did you recover from it? Did you have an animal, a dog in your life that helped out? Call us at 800-642-1234. You can also post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Shows. That's the title of our Facebook page, and maybe you've got a photo of you and your dog that you could post. We'd love to see that, too. And Janet in Oshkosh has been waiting quite a long time, so I want to give her a chance to join in. Janet, thank you so much for waiting.
Oh, you're welcome.
And what's on your mind?
I just wanted to say therapy dogs, which mine is now registered as a therapy dog because of my anxiety disorders, are so powerful. My friend rescued a little long-coated chihuahua that was going to be put down at 5 weeks. And when I went over there to pick up the dog, I instantly fell in love with him. It also helped that she left me alone with the dog for an hour.
Yeah.
So, but I got that in a time of my life where I was falling apart after a divorce, and I got into drinking and drugs, and I had nothing really to pull me out of it. And so this little five-week-old long-coated chihuahua became my lifeline, and I had to force myself to get up out of bed every day to take care of this dog. As you can see in the background, he's playing with another little chihuahua. If you hear growling, that's them playing. But his name is Riley, Life of Riley. And he's a long-coated chihuahua, and I will post a picture of him up on the page.
Oh, that's
when I'm done.
It'll be
actually a picture of him when he saw himself in the mirror for the first time. He actually reached out with his paw and touched the mirror.
Does that make you laugh?
Oh, I know. He does. And he's so intelligent, and he is now a registered service dog, and he goes to nursing homes and hospitals with me.
Oh.
And I have been clean and sober ever since having this dog.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's amazing, the power of an animal, whether it's a cat or a dog. Or I saw a lady in a nursing home that hadn't spoken in years, and her name was Ruby. And when she saw a rabbit that I had brought in, she said, "Bunny," and everybody started to cry because she hadn't spoken in years. And she was a farm girl, and she saw a bunny.
Oh, boy.
Connected with her. So, you know, I've read across so much of that research about the things that, that dogs and cats and bunnies and chickens can do for us, that they somehow just connect with us on such a natural, real level. That I've heard those same kinds of stories where people who haven't spoken in years or people with Alzheimer's, their memory comes flooding back when they're exposed to an animal.
Well, I've been a caregiver 25 years, so I've seen it a lot, and it's just amazing.
Well, Janet, thank you so much for calling and sharing that. I really, really appreciate it, and congratulations as well.
You're welcome, Larry, and I do love all your shows.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and thanks for what you do. Sounds like a caregiver all those years. That's a wonderful thing. And, I was talking about, and she, Janet, of course, wasn't afraid of dogs, and she has a small dog. You, Jan, were kind of afraid of dogs, and especially black dogs and large dogs. And what do you wind up with but a large black dog?
Who would have thought? That's why I thought, certainly God planned it, because no one on earth would have ever imagined I would end up with a big black dog. but it was funny when she was saying how dogs make her laugh. You know, that whole laughter thing is so spontaneous, and so many animals do that for us. And I think that really connects us to a very natural sort of situation. And I think all of creation is good for us. And I love to see animals being used for therapy, because I think that's what they were designed for. I really do. I think they were designed to be a part of our joyfulness. And I love it when therapy dogs get to go and help kids to read or improve people's attention span. It's just fabulous.
Absolutely. Mary in Menominee is joining us next. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me. I just wanted to say I have an autoimmune disease that attacks your blood vessels. The dogs that I have five dogs, one of which was allowed when I was really having a rough time. She was just a pup. These are all rescue dogs, but they even allowed her in the hospital for the 4 days I was up there. So there is a true meaning of relief from an animal. They have a sixth sense. They know when you're ill, and they know right how to bring health back to you, with that sixth sense that we're missing.
Yeah, thank you so much for that call, Mary. And Jan, I'm sure you have a comment.
Yeah, what I was going to say is they do have that sixth sense, and I can't explain it, but science documents it all the time, and I include some of that research in my book because I thought it was so fascinating that here's a resource that we don't even know about. It's right under our noses. It's right in our laps. And I am so excited that there's more and more research all the time. I'm sure you've heard about the dogs that are used with vets suffering from PTSD. And it really helps the vets deal with that and progress, as well as making the dogs more adoptable.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mary, thanks again for calling. I really appreciate it. I want to give Rick in Grafton a chance to join us. Rick, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. Hopefully I won't choke up, but I'd like to tell a story about Sam. I was homeless in 1967. I was illegitimate with a single mother, and for people that lived back then, that was a very bad thing. So the school didn't support me or treat me well. The church didn't treat me well. Society didn't treat me well. And on top of that, I had a very abusive mother. And Sam was homeless, and I was homeless. And what Sam taught me was that no matter how bad the world is, there is love in the world. And because of Sam, I kept myself out of trouble because I wanted to take good care of Sam. So my life is real good now.
Oh. Well, I'm
so good.
Oh. Rick, thank you so much. We'll all be in tears here before long. Thank you so much for that call. And Jan, I'm sure you've heard maybe not exactly that same story, but similar stories from others.
I do all the time now that I'm a dog person. I spend a lot of time with other people with dogs at the dog park and just walking. And, you know, dogs are a great way to meet people, I'll tell you. I've learned the names of all my neighbors for the first time.
Yeah.
We're all out there walking our dogs. And, you know, while you're cleaning up a dog's poop, it's kind of an odd time to be socializing, but it really works. When I adopted Gracie, I was clueless. I had never had a dog, and I was afraid of dogs. So part of the story for me has been how much humor is healing as well. I mean, the dog, some of the stories I tell in the book, people tell me they just are laughing out loud.
Because, well, they're funny stories.
I just did stupid things because I didn't know any better. And being able to laugh at those things is such a freeing opportunity and an experience. And if for no other reason, comic relief. Oh, my gosh, dogs are fabulous for that.
Well, you know, it really is funny. I was laughing. I really got a chuckle when you got the dog home and then you read something later about what you're supposed to do beforehand. And you hadn't done any of it.
I hadn't done a thing. I really thought this is totally clueless. You couldn't have written a funnier script, I think, than what was going on in my house that first week with the dog.
Jim and Casanova, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Could you refresh my memory on the term that you used? Was it remunerate?
Rumination.
Rumination, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like cows ruminate.
All right. All right, now you really struck a chord with me because you described symptoms that I know I've been having, like reliving the past.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm reliving is what was a terrible experience, and it actually happened over 40 years ago.
Yes.
I always thought it was like post-traumatic stress is what I've been experiencing, but what you're describing seems to be a lot closer to what I'm feeling. I'll just briefly describe what happened. I was accosted by someone and threatened, and if we would have had then a stand-your-ground law, I would have been okay. But I wasn't, and the fact that he had friends there that testified against me, I'm the one that got a felony charge, and it pretty well ruined my life. I lost the relationship. I lost licensing for a profession that I had, and I was separated from my wife, and I didn't have the ability at that point to I was going to fight for custody of her son and on and on. But now, for the last number of months, I'm going to say 4 months, give or take, my mind keeps reliving that fight. I go back to it over and over and over, and it's like I keep asking myself, what if that hadn't happened, you know? And I don't know. Does that sound like what you're talking about?
That sounds like a more extreme case. It does sound more like post-traumatic stress syndrome. I hear a lot of people talking about post-traumatic stress disorder these days, and it seems like anxiety is very similar to that. And certainly, you know, getting some help with that is the best thing you can do. I had seen a therapist before we got our dog, and that helped me deal with some of the issues, but it didn't quite do it all. And, you know, I think everyone has to find what works for them. And certainly the ruminating is a hard habit to break.
And it's,
yeah, I'm going to study that a little better because your symptoms certainly fit me. So maybe I'm between the two. Maybe I have both. I don't know.
Well, you need to. You definitely might profit from even reading Jan's book, Jim, or possibly talking to. And here I go again, giving advice to others of what they should do. But I think Jan, you'd agree with me that. That Jim probably would benefit from having a chance to talk these things out. Sometimes,
yeah.
Isn't it a good idea to be able to talk through this with someone?
Oh, yes. That helps immensely because then you know you're not alone in having those kinds of issues. And the experience might be something that someone can share with you and help you explore. But definitely, I would talk about it with someone who has a good listening ear for you.
Yeah, and thank you so much for calling, Jim. I hope you can get some help and get this resolved. I appreciate your call. It's kind of tough sometimes to have to call, and I commend you for having the courage to call and talk about this on the air to people. Thank you for calling. And if you can afford it, a medical professional would be, it'd be wonderful if you can talk to a medical professional about it. But if not, there are others in the community who in your community who, I mean, are there and ready to help. I'm sure of it.
You know, since this book has come out, I've had so many people say to me, we don't talk about these things.
Yeah.
Whether it's anxiety or rumination or post-traumatic stress. We're so used to keeping it all inside, and that doesn't help. It really doesn't.
Yeah. You know, you say that animals can remind us to live in the moment and
mm-hmm.
get out of our heads.
Yes.
And you know, it doesn't sound like Jim has a pet or a dog, but for others, can you describe what you mean by that?
Yeah, a part of it was based on my experience of taking my degree in theology. I had all this head knowledge, and I could think anything through, but to make the leap to actually experiencing it, that's something else again. It's like reading about a typhoon and compared to being in a typhoon. I mean, you have to have the actual visceral experience, I think, before you really understand something. And dogs get you out of your head because they're so spontaneous and they're so connected with their own needs and life around them. It's just, how can you be sad when you're walking with a dog through a pile of leaves? You know, the dog isn't thinking about the homework it's got to do or getting the house refinanced. The dog is just immediately responding to its environment. And so many of us are so used to being distanced from nature and our immediate environment that I think we put up all these barriers that we can no longer spontaneously enjoy life. And oh my goodness, there's so much to enjoy. I honestly feel much happier just walking around, even if it's a blizzard. I'm happy out there walking in the blizzard these days because I'm with the dog. And it's shown me that, you know, life is for living. It really is.
You know, that dog park really, I think at some point in your book you say that dog park practically saved your life.
Oh, yeah. I have a whole new group of friends that I care very much about that I've met while walking the dog. Whenever I had a question about the dog, I would ask my friends at the dog park, and they have changed my life, the dog and my new friends. And it's something I never expected, Larry. And I thought, you know, at age 58, I thought I pretty much knew where my life was and where I was going, and I'd done all the things I, you know, was really expecting to do, like raise kids and get married and have jobs. But this has been a whole new world for me.
You tell a funny story about, I think it was your first time, wasn't it, in the dog park? When,
yes.
When Gracie jumped this, what was it, 5-foot fence or whatever it was?
Yes, she jumped the fence out of the park, and I'm standing there thinking, are you kidding me? I have this dog that I've only had like a week or so, and it just took off. How am I going to get it back? And, of course, it was supposed to be my daughter's dog, so I was thinking, she's going to think I got rid of the dog on purpose because she knew I didn't want the dog. And it was just a mess. And I thought, what do you do, you know, when a dog runs away? She had a chip in her, but I didn't know where she's going to end up. Maybe she would have ended up in, you know, Canada for all I know. I didn't know. This dog could run, too, as you can tell. She's a real runner. So, I was like, okay, what do I do now?
Oh man, and that was pretty funny. We don't need to talk about how it all turned out. And people can read that to find out about it. It's pretty funny.
There's some great stories. I will give one spoiler to the book, though.
Yeah.
The dog does not die at the end.
Yes.
Because I have so many people who read it, and they say, this is such a fun memoir to read because it doesn't die at the end because all those dog stories, the dog dies at the end. But, oh, no, she's well. Believe me, she's alive and well.
Kathy in Oshkosh, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry, and hi to your guest. A wonderful show. I just wanted to ask a question. I've been dealing with a problem after having six shoulder surgeries in 5 years, the pain that it's left me with and the disability is hard to accept. We've tried every route, every avenue, I think, possible with pain control and speaking with someone about it. But when your guest has talked about how much the dog helped her through a difficult time and the other callers, how would a person go about finding the right type of dog and perhaps one that might be trained somewhat so that I wouldn't be responsible for every little thing a tiny puppy might need?
Yeah. And you've had 5 shoulder surgeries, so right off
yes,
the bat, I'm thinking we don't want a border collie or a dog that's going to be really active and pull you around.
Yeah.
Jan, is that...
As much as I love big dogs, I don't know if it would be appropriate.
Yeah,
I don't think so either. I tell people in my book that you really need to research the breeds because so many dogs are returned to shelters because they're not the right fit for the person. And I totally am an advocate to adopt a rescue dog. Our dog is a rescue dog because they're not a puppy. You don't have all of that house training to do. Most rescue dogs are already trained because they've been living with someone. And so I didn't want a puppy because I didn't want to go through that. I wanted a dog that knew the basic commands and I could manage. That's not to say I could manage my dog when we brought her home. But the idea is that you find a dog that's at the right place in life for you. And especially, I think if I had had some shoulder issues or musculature issues, I would have gone with a smaller dog. Certainly not one that I would have to be physically pulling, you know, and dragging places or anything like that. And I would get an older dog because they're calmer, and yet you still get all the chemical responses that are documented. You get an increase in oxytocin. Your endorphins go up because you're spending time with a pet and loving a pet. So I definitely recommend that people think about what their limitations are. And then try to find a dog who will fit into your life.
Yeah. So it's...
That sounds great. One more quick question.
Sure.
I understand that there's a prison in the area who gives rescue dogs, who are given rescue dogs to care for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they're with the prisoners 24/7. Good mm-hmm. for the dog, good for the person they're with. And then they're brought back to the Humane Society and sold. Do you know anything about that?
We have a similar program, I know, here in Minnesota, too, where they frequently have inmates caring for dogs because it's good for the inmates to have that responsibility.
Sure.
And the dogs have the opportunity to be well socialized.
So it's probably a good piece of advice, you know, certainly worth looking into, Kathy. And here we are out of time. Oh, my goodness, Jan, the time has really flown by. And I have some other good questions and calls, so we're just going to have to do this again. That's all.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you, Jan.
You're welcome. Thanks, Larry.
Jan Dunlap, author of Saved by Gracie, How a Rough and Tumble Rescue Dog Dragged Me Back to Health, Happiness, and God. It's a fun book. Fun book to read. Interesting book to read. And thanks for all the great calls today. You've been a wonderful audience, as you always are. And thanks for listening. Stay with us.